Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk sitting over there ready for another edition of the Rumblings. Thanks for tuning in here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of you guys, especially our great servicemen and women out there taking care of it. Met a listener, former service member this weekend. Wanted to give him another thanks. Brad? Brad was his name. Yeah.
You better remember it.
I feel so bad when I meet new people because I can't process.
Especially people that, you know, sacrifice their, exactly. Like, they put their life on the line for you. Come on.
Dude, I'm old, all right? I'm on the periphery of Alzheimer's, I'm telling you.
That's true.
Runs in the family.
I can't remember what I ate for lunch usually, so.
There you go. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a stop at Strange Brew Coffee House. That's what you really want to start your day with. Don't worry about these other places with their burnt coffee and their, you know, not spelling your name right. Go to Strange Brew where they treat you the right way and the drinks are all fantastic. And, of course, you know, it was a little cooler this morning when we all woke up. It's like 70 out there. It's getting a little brisk. It's getting that pumpkin spice.
You're smelling the pumpkin spice
it's
out
time.
There.
It's time.
Spooky season.
We're almost there. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to grab everything maroon and white, the biggest and best selection of MSU merchandise in Central Mississippi. Whether you're looking for a shirt to wear to the game, something for the tailgate, something for your house, your car, whatever it is, you're going to find it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. And you can always shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Our good friends at Humble Taco are ready to see you this weekend. Friday night before the game, that place will be hopping. Make sure you're a part of it. Grab a spot out on the patio. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy a handcrafted margarita, some chips and queso, and some of the most unique Mexican food you're ever going to find. Mississippi Roots. Mexican Fair, it's Humble Taco. It is Rumblings Day. We got a lot of questions. Do me a favor. You do a good job of keeping up. I don't know. The last couple of weeks, we've had somewhere. I'm having some glitches here in the Matrix. I don't know what's going on. So,
well, I never know.
If you see me miss one, give me a little point, and I'll let you know if I intentionally miss
it. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes you will skip them. Yes. So I don't want to bring the intention to
just
those.
Just give me like a little, you know, little beard tug or something. You know, do the signs. Okay. We'll figure it out.
But last week, you accidentally skipped like 20 questions or something.
I don't know what
like.
Happened.
I don't know what happened
so
there.
Hopefully, we've got it straight today. Our first question today is from Joby Miller. Why does Brian hate Mississippi State? All right, what the hell, Joby? Is this how we're going to start things off? This is how we're going to start?
I agree with him.
I'm not the one not putting Mississippi State in my top 25.
Well, nobody is.
Well, yeah, everybody. That's because everybody hates Mississippi State, except
that's
for
true.
Me.
And I put
Brandon Walker
18.
Had them in them. Had him in
Brandon Walker put State in the top 25?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had a special category, too, called Never Will Be Ranked, and it was Ole Miss.
Well, so, you got to respect that, actually.
The really funny one was 24, Dave Portnoy. No, wait, that's way too old for Dave. Wow, that's harsh.
Ooh.
All right, Rob Hadaway, if Louisville is so great, why can they not figure out a way to get rid of the lone four-way stop on the way to Starkville from Jackson?
I mean, it's crossing the intersection of Highway 14. There's a lot of special people that are on 14 that are coming and going.
It shouldn't be a four-way stop, though. It should just be a regular old traffic light.
It could be, but sometimes that's more annoying.
I guess. I'm trying to think about game day. It might get backed up.
Listen now, people like Rob have obviously not gone through downtown Louisville. We are not just some, you know, McDonald's and Wendy's town.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not just the bypass.
Downtown, yeah.
There are some great things in downtown Louisville.
There's that Cajun restaurant I haven't eaten at yet. You need to take me there.
Market Cafe?
Yeah.
It is delicious.
I know, we need to go there.
And, you know, Lake Teocata is there.
I've been to Lake Teocata many times.
Lake Teocata is great. Yeah. I mean, it is a great
place to take the family on the weekends.
It is a hidden gem in the state of Mississippi. Mm. And you got to get off the bypass. You need to get on 14. You need to get off of 15 and go check out the whole town. Okay. I will give you a tour of Louisville. If you just name the day, I'll come down and meet you and give you a tour of the rest of the city. That's not just that four-way stop. Okay.
Another one from Rob. At what point in history do you think cheerleaders on the sidelines at football games stop serving any sort of practical purpose? Probably not long after, like, PA systems were invented.
So, I mean, what's he saying here?
He's saying that cheerleaders don't have any purpose.
Oh, okay. So, well,
you have the guy with the mic. I'm not talking about Mic Man from the early 2000s. I'm talking about, like, they used to have a cheerleader with a mic lead.
Yes, I remember that. Over by the student section.
Yeah, and now they don't do that anymore. So
yeah, I mean, it's just a security blanket, I guess, to have them down there, somebody that at least cheers
involved,
and stuff.
Too,
yeah,
you know what I mean,
and I mean, they get scholarships. I mean, it's important for them. So
yeah,
I don't know.
All right, we got some questions from Justin Strawn at a reasonable 6:42 p.m. Let's see here. Mike Leach teams have shown a penchant for losing or just playing poorly. Well, he says portly. Are you trying to make a fat joke about me, Justin? What's going on there? Playing poorly against bad teams. Is it possible that's what all of this was? I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, they have been like that before. They were like that last year. Yeah. I talked about that Vanderbilt game.
Yeah.
And the very next week Arkansas. Was the Georgia game, right?
Yeah.
So that's true. And, you know, He was very successful against Oregon, mm-hmm. in the Pac-12, and then struggled against Washington, which I guess that's not a bad team, but he has a tendency to struggle against certain type teams, and you know, every now and then he pulls a big upset too, so yeah. It's kind of like a win some lose some thing with Michael Leach.
Y'all have said 5-7 seemed like the floor and 9-3 the ceiling. Did that change after Saturday? Yeah, it changed for me.
Yep.
There's a lower floor now for sure.
Yep. I actually thought if they lost that game, I was predicting two or three wins.
Two. I mean, if you lose to La Tech, I would think you might lose to Memphis.
Yes. So. I would not have projected them to win that game.
Honestly, they could still lose to Memphis.
They could. Yeah.
So. Last one from Justin here. What's the one thing that wives do that drive all husbands bonkers, and why is it simply not telling us what they want? Well, I mean, that's among many other things.
The toilet paper, putting it the wrong way.
Oh, God.
That drives me insane.
I hear you.
And I've figured out she does that on purpose.
Oh, she's doing it.
It's not an accident.
Now we've got to find out something that she doesn't like and do it to her. We've got a counterstrike.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that drives me insane. Mm. No one in their right mind should have the toilet paper coming underneath. We have to pull it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that drives me insane. The rest of the stuff, I believe, is unintentional. But the fact that she does that mm-hmm. on purpose.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
My wife tried to get me the other day. I was bringing home some groceries, and I had a bottle of Stubbs hot and spicy barbecue sauce. Because we didn't have a spicy barbecue sauce in the house.
You needed some spice.
And Jennifer was like, Why do we have so many barbecue sauces in the fridge? We have like 5 or 6 bottles of different kinds of barbecue sauce, which, you know, they have different flavors.
Yeah.
And I just looked at her, I was like, I don't know. Why do we have 20 different kinds of hand soap in the house?
That's true.
Like, you know, at least I get to eat the barbecue sauce. It's delicious.
You don't wash your hands?
I wash my hands plenty, but, you know, it's all the same.
Not with cucumber melon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we got stuff in there that I don't even know what it is. It's like, you know, there was something in there like
summer breeze.
Yeah, like. What does this smell like? I don't know. Rob Hadaway. If you mute people who are answering questions, how do you know when they continue to answer questions? I don't.
That's the point.
That's the point. I don't care anymore. They're just screaming into the void.
I haven't muted some of the people that you have.
I've muted more, yeah. Last one from Rob. I attended a high school football game last weekend where the home team's defensive third downs were sponsored by the local Baptist church. Am I correct in assuming the church does not want the opposing team to convert? That's kind of funny.
That's true.
This third down brought to you by Pine Grove Baptist Church. Like, what? Why don't you just give that money to the poor? What are we doing here? Joe Dog, what NFL football player was your favorite as a kid? See, you're old enough that
well,
Big Ben could be the answer.
No.
Or is he a little too old? Young?
No, it probably would have been like Hines Ward or Jerome Bettis. I mean, I was strictly a Steelers guy. But I will say I was a big Michael Vick guy too.
Okay.
Because, you know, Michael Vick was really like an innovator.
Oh, yeah.
There might be some guys that might do it better than him, but he was an innovative quarterback. There was not many people like that. I loved watching him with Virginia Tech, played with Virginia Tech on NCAA football, and then I followed him when he was with the Falcons. So I'd probably go with the Steelers. It's probably going to be Jerome Bettis or Hines Ward.
My favorite football player as a kid was Pat Swilling from the Saints. Remember the Dome Patrol?
I mean, and his kid, a couple of years ago, was getting recruited by Mississippi State.
Yeah,
Was really interesting.
Yeah,
I think he went to, like, Georgia Tech or something, didn't he?
Well, yeah, because Georgia was where Pat Swilling went. He's an alum, so yeah. Also from Joe Dog, is it time to bring back the dog pound run? What do you mean, bring it back? They do it every game.
Yeah, you know, shortly after those late 90s, they changed the rules on that, and I think State got a penalty or something if they got on the field. So they can't really do it the way that they used to do it. So they just do it before games, I believe. I think what he might mean is doing it after. Remember they used to do it after like every touchdown, did they not?
Something like that, yeah.
So they couldn't do that anymore. So now it's just before the game.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you can't do it after every score now.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like they started penalizing if you did it. We used to do it in high school sometimes. Well, I was in junior high, and we would get penalized for it. So.
All right. Patton Paris, has Brian Haydad decided what he's wearing to the game this Saturday? What an unbelievable sequence of events that was.
The things that people get upset about, I don't understand.
Like, I'm wearing a polo shirt to the game, you know? And I sort of explained this on Sports Talk, and I'll give you this information here now. When you're fat, you got like maybe 4 shirts that you can tuck in. Like, I got a ton of shirts I can wear untucked.
I just don't tuck in.
Well, I normally don't, but if I'm wearing slacks, I'll tuck in.
Well, I'm definitely not wearing slacks to the football game when it's 95 degrees.
I wore slacks. I decided to try to be a little professional.
Why?
I just, you know what? I just decided to
be professional.
I wanted to be professional.
Don't be professional.
And this is the thanks that I get for that, though, is you look like an idiot because you're wearing a Giants polo.
Well, you remember Joel got in trouble because he's wearing a Braves hat.
I'm not going to wear an MSU polo. I don't work for MSU. I'm not there to cheer for the Bulldogs. If I go sit in the stands with you guys, I'll be wearing an MSU polo.
We're not like the cultish, clannish, like fan base media somewhere.
Yeah, you're not going to see me at media days asking about the log snapper battle when there's an NCAA investigation happening. All right. Gosh. What's a better jelly, grape or strawberry?
Strawberry.
It's not even close.
I ate some this morning. So.
And next question, I think we've answered that many times before. Steve Mormon. Was told Saturday that Brad Cumbus has quit the football team because he was taken off defense. Either of you know anything about this. I haven't seen Brad Cumbus. You know, he was battling through that hand injury during training camp.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me. You know, and it's probably the best decision for him.
He is no longer on the football team.
Okay.
I don't know if it's because he's taken off defense. I just think he's going to focus on baseball.
That's the smart decision for him.
And this works out great for him because he's still on full scholarship with the football team through this year.
Yeah.
Which means he can play baseball for free and get drafted and never have to pay for college.
Yeah.
And he got a chance to play football for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
baseball for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and
there you go.
Gets drafted. Awesome. And that's the best thing that can happen for him is to play fall ball,
mm-hmm.
and to play the entire spring,
mm-hmm.
preseason.
Yeah.
And to see all those pitches.
It'll be good.
It's going to be great for him.
It'll be good for Mississippi State, too.
He was so much better last year after he was consistently in the lineup.
Yeah, yeah. He and Kellen Clark.
Yes.
A lot of potential.
Yes.
A lot of potential. Also, Steve tells us he uses his leftover pulled pork to make pulled pork egg rolls.
Ooh.
Fry and dip in your favorite barbecue sauce. You can thank me later. That sounds fantastic.
Ooh,
pork, maybe some cheese in there.
Oh, I would absolutely tear that up.
Yeah.
You know, we had those duck spring rolls.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those were. Did you eat those?
Where? Oh, at the. And, yeah, yeah.
In Hasbro.
Oh, well, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh my God, those are good.
Yeah. Jacob Shumey. No answers this week. People are starting to get it. Maybe I don't know.
He's earned their respect.
Yeah. If you were able to cover any college football team full time except for Mississippi State, who would it be? Like, doesn't it feel like the easy answer is Hawaii? Just to be.
I was going
to
go LSU.
LSU would be a fantastic choice. I would like to live down, or Tulane, to live in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It would be fun.
If I wouldn't have grown up a Mississippi State fan,
yeah,
I would want to be an LSU fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've always thought I'd be a great LSU fan because I love Cajun food, and I'm a jerk.
Yeah, you would have fit in perfectly.
I would have fit in. Yeah, can't you just see me in, like, one of those, like, a little too tight tiger stripe polos with no undershirt and my chest hair and a gold chain? Hey, there, T-ball, get that jambalaya going now. You know, I would have been perfect. I got a lot of LSU fans in the family, too, so. But I would have been like the guy, like, look, don't walk past that guy's tailgate if you're a visiting fan.
Oh,
He will let you know.
Yeah, you would have fit in.
I would have fit in real good. I'm trying to think if there's anywhere. Like, I mean, I would love to have one of the glamour jobs, you know, Notre Dame.
Bama.
Bama. Something like that. But, I mean, living in Tuscaloosa wouldn't be that great, though. I mean, nothing against Tuscaloosa. It's a cool town, but.
And Alabama would be kind of boring to cover from the sense of you either go to the national championship or everybody's angry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and that plus, would just be, I mean, it's just
there's no other teams, sports either.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know basketball is starting to turn around, but they really don't care.
No.
So
you just have the whole year, you have to wait for that.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. Yeah, yeah. All right.
I will say it's more fulfilling to cover this beat whenever stuff like the national championship happens.
Yeah, I
agree with that. When you've been through, I sat through the entire 2015 baseball season and covered that. And then, like, when you've done that, and then you sit through and cover a national championship team, that's really fulfilling. I wouldn't want to cover a beat where they're just winning national championships every year, you know?
Real quick, the lines are out. What do you think the line is for Vanderbilt, Colorado State?
I'm going to say Vanderbilt is a 5.5-point underdog.
You're close to 6.5.
That game is going to be awful.
An SEC team on the road is a touchdown underdog.
That's to a...
To a Mountain West team. That's
going to be a bad game.
All right. Also from Jacob Schumi. Ruiz had plenty of distance on his 52-yarder. How many 50-yarders does he make this year? He'll make a couple.
Yeah, I said two or three.
So I was told Tucker Day didn't have the laces. Laces out, Tucker!
Yeah, if that's, you know, if that's held correctly, possibly it would be
probably,
in. I don't know. I didn't see that initially, but people were tweeting that.
Yeah, yeah. Good question here from Rob Chittum. If it's too cold in your house, do you turn the air down or up?
See, I've always wondered what the correct...
I say turn it up to get the temperature higher.
You know what's always so strange to me?
Mm-hmm.
I keep my house on 70 to cool it off.
Mm-hmm.
I turn it to 68 for heat.
Yeah.
70 is too hot.
70 is too hot.
It's so weird. Isn't that a weird concept when the heat comes
out?
I'm
sort of the same way.
Same temperature.
Yeah.
But it's hot.
Yeah.
Keeps you warm.
Yeah.
Whenever it's lower temperature.
So when when it's too cold, the air goes up. And when I want to cool off, I turn it down.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. The American Dream has a question. Do you mind if I use the American Dream impression when I ask it?
Please do.
All right. To elaborate on my question from Saturday's Green Room, I asked that question outside the Atlanta studios, WTBS. We're doing
at the sound stage.
Doing NWA wrestling, if you see daddy. How quickly do we see Albert Reese if this line keeps up? And then how long until we get a new O-line coach, Jack? Thanks, baby. Well, Albert Reese, I mean, I think he's a pretty good player, but they don't want to go to him.
No, and it just depends on how he's looking in practice.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a few weeks. But, I mean, and listen, you know, Scott Lashley was the second highest graded lineman this past week. LaQuinston Sharp was really good. Your big question marks right now, strangely enough, is your left tackle and Charles Cross. He's got to be better. And then right guard with a dollar bill. I think Cam Jones is fine. I think he stays in the lineup. So the question to me is, I think Charles Cross will too. I don't think they're going to take him out. The question to me is Dollar Bill going to stick? Because if he continues to struggle, I see them moving Cam Jones to right and maybe bringing in Cole Smith. I don't think Albert Reese is going to be the answer right now.
No, I don't either. That said, if this out, I'm interested because, you know, Leach has been a guy who sort of like keeps his guys around, but another poor year of offensive line performance, you might have to make a move.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, it's whatever it is. It's just not clicking right now. I don't know what it is.
Norm wants to know. I'm sorry, I skipped one. I skipped a couple. I'm sorry. Scott wants to ask, drinking beer out of a boot or eating mayonnaise out of a jug, what's the nastiest thing you have seen someone eat or drink at a game? First off, the eating mayo out of a jug is just repulsive.
Yeah, the, I mean,
I hope that guy got sick.
I like mayonnaise, but not like a glob of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
I want a solid light spread. I don't want to just take a spoonful of mayonnaise and eat it. That's disgusting to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, drinking beer out of a boot would be disgusting, too.
So, I've got one that I actually saw. So, a long time ago, we were at a tailgate. And we, you know, when we went to the game, you just sort of left the food out.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was a crock pot full of Rotel. This was the Florida game, 2000. Remember how hot it was that day?
Yes.
We come back to the tailgate, and one of the guys was so drunk, he just got the spoon and started eating the Rotel that's been sitting out for 4 hours.
Nice.
Just right out of the crock pot.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It was disgusting.
A couple weeks ago, I was at a fantasy draft party, and some cats got on the food. So when I saw that, I was like, I'm done with that. Well, one of my buddies was eating the wings about 3 minutes later, after the cat had trampled all over him. So
that's not good.
No.
Let's see here. Tanner Parsons, how many of the offensive line issues are actually quarterback issues?
I think they work hand in hand. You know, there were a couple occasions where it was the offensive line. And, you know, they had like 3 holding penalties. They had a couple of sacks. One of the sacks was kind of, you know, Will Rogers was holding onto the football too long. I've said it several times. They all work hand in hand. You got to have everybody on the same page, and Will Rogers got to get the ball out quicker. He's got to have a little more time, especially when they've only got 3 or 4 guys rushing. So they definitely got to get better there.
Let's see here. Norm wants to know, what's your favorite beer? I've always been an IPA guy, but looking for more lagers, brown ales, and porters. You got a favorite beer?
No, that's. I'm not really a beer snob.
You just drink beer. You don't care about what it is.
I'm not
a beer snob, but I do have some that I like. I mean, I like Tiny Bombs, obviously by Wiseacre. I like Crosstown's. Is it Crosstown?
Traffic.
Crosstown. No. I don't like. It's not the Traffic. It's the Blonde Ale, Siren Blonde.
Well, they also have a Traffic.
They have Traffic, but I'm not as big a fan of that one.
Oh, okay.
Like the Blonde Ale. I like Ho Garden. That's a good beer.
That was your favorite, right?
That is my favorite beer, yeah.
And somebody actually brought you some of that, didn't
no,
they?
No, but they told me I need to go get it. They have it over at the Smokestack.
Oh, okay.
Where, of course, the home of the Brandon Walker
Smoking
lounge.
Just right. Does he even smoke?
No, but he has a smoking lounge.
So he says he goes over there when he comes back. Does he just sit in there and just inhale everybody's smoke?
Well, have you ever
smoke?
Been in there?
Uh-uh.
It's not, I don't know if anybody actually smokes in there or not, but if they do, whatever.
I thought it was like a smoking lounge.
But they've got like 3 big screens in there. You can watch the games and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. William Taylor Ball wants to know, how close were you to putting together a coaching hot board were you in the third quarter for the podcast? Some names are on my mind.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I think it might have been Michael Borky that was tweeting about it. Somebody had said, you know, you got to get rid of Leach after this. He made a good point. Nobody in their right mind is that's a really good coach is going to take this job if you fire Mike Leach after 2 years.
Yeah.
You fire Joe Moorhead after 2 years, then you fire the next guy after 2 years. You're not going to get anybody that's worth anything for that. People just aren't. For that kind of demand for a place that's this tough to win,
mm-hmm.
I think it says a lot about what Dan Mullen was able to do to be that consistent, you know?
Yeah. Let's see here. Which player's performance surprised you the most on Saturday? Jaquavius Marks is the answer for me.
I wasn't surprised because I really felt like he was going
to
be good.
You know me, I want to see things.
Right.
You know? And I wasn't sure what to think, but he really was good.
To me, it was Ra-Ra Thomas.
That's a good choice.
Who yeah. both of us said... That might be the guy we were talking about that just showed up that one game and you never see him again. But
we'll never see him again.
I do think that he legitimately is going to make a difference this year and play.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised by that. I was shocked to see him on the field, especially so early. I was expecting out of the freshmen, the only guy I thought could really get out there, the freshman wide receivers, was Teddy Knox.
Yeah.
And he's been getting some hype lately, too.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Let's move on here. Andy Lossick wants to know, does the fact that Michigan and Notre Dame take their iconic football helmet design and put them on everything from the hockey helmets to the baseball helmets to the swim caps solidify an athletic department, or does it take from those sports' identity? I mean, I don't think it takes from their identity at all. I think I sort of see what he's asking here.
He means like but does he mean like the gold helmets in baseball?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're cool.
Well, I think that just I think that's just like a school wide, like they're known.
It's like
that.
A nod, right? Yeah. It's like it the football team is the top brand, and yeah. the other things sort of go off of that, as opposed to Mississippi State. Where you can be argued that the baseball team is the best brand.
I agree with people that is the Mississippi State's best logo.
Yeah.
I just like it with baseball specifically.
I do too.
I don't think they need to start throwing on everything else.
It doesn't bother me. Another one from Andy. First concert without parents. Well, my first concert was without parents. So, I mean, I never went to a concert with my parents.
You know, the first concerts I went to was like Christian bands with church.
Ooh.
Like I didn't get to go to see Guns N' Roses and Metallica and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like I went with David Lee Roth
at Rapids on the Reservoir.
I did. I was at that same thing.
Oh God, how old were you?
We talked about that one
like
time.
Five?
Was that like 95?
Yeah,
that's 96.
Yeah.
I was at Rapids.
Oh my God.
I didn't go for that.
Yeah.
I just went to Rapids to go swimming, and that he was there.
I nearly got concussed. That
you slip on the wet ground.
No, they threw a Z106 T-shirt out into the crowd, and when I lunged for it, this dude like elbowed me in the head, like Judas Effect style.
Gosh, so people go nuts over free stuff.
Like a free T-shirt.
Rapids used to be hopping, man.
Oh yeah, big time.
That place was great.
What's the best concert you've ever been to? I don't go to a lot of concerts, so I don't really have a good answer for this. I've seen Kiss live twice.
ZZ Top might be the best I've ever been to. It's either ZZ Top or Eric Church was great. Before he got really big, he was really good. Slash and Miles Kennedy is one of my favorite concerts I've been to. So
okay. Let's see here. Sheldon Nations, we've allowed 950-plus yard gains in 12 games under Leach/Arnett. Is allowing big plays just part of this defense we'll have to live with? I say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're going to blitz as much as they do, you're going to give up big plays.
That's kind of a product of this defense.
Yes.
And you said the other day, would you rather give up a big play or
long drive?
Long drive. And I said big play.
Yeah.
Because more often than not, you're able to get off the field. I mean, those big plays are few and far between. And you'll live with that, like against Georgia last year.
Yeah.
You'll live with that.
Yeah.
Take a chance. You had nothing to lose in that ball game. So, yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see some big plays, but you're also going to – like, look at what the defense did the rest of the ball game mm-hmm. against the rush the other day. They had that one breakdown, and that was it.
That's it. Jason Neal Gault, what does Vegas know about the NC State game that I don't? The line last I checked was -1.5. It's up to 2.5 now. This is one of those games I always – there's a couple of these a year where it's like that line is so fishy, it's like they're asking you to bet it.
Yeah.
They know something. And I think what they think it's reverse psychology. You're going to look at that line and go, Vegas knows something about Mississippi State. I'm taking Mississippi State. In reality, what Vegas knows is NC State's going to win this game by 2 touchdowns.
Do you think that's what's going to happen?
I think they're going to win by more than 2.5. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have faith in this line right now.
We'll
I don't have faith in Mississippi State either. So
yeah. What changes did our O-line make in the fourth quarter? I don't know that it's changes so much as the lack of depth that Louisiana Tech's going to have finally kicked into gear. That and State. They had a 20-yard drive for a touchdown and a 52-yard drive for a touchdown. So they had two short fields, and they only had one real long drive.
Yeah. So. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, anything else that? Okay.
I don't know what happened.
All right. This is the question we get a good bit of. Is All Out the best wrestling pay-per-view of all time? I say no.
No, it may have there's had the been best, so many.
Maybe had, like, the best in terms of surprise arrivals. But was there, outside of the Lucha Bros Young Bucks match, was there like a match that you were just like, wow, that was fantastic?
I mean, WrestleMania 17 was better than
that's
All
what I'm
Out
saying. Like, there were great matches on that card.
Yeah.
This was one where, like, just the payoff at the end was the best.
I mean, we kind of were sitting around. I mean, the only match we really, really got into was Lucha Bros.
The tag match.
And then we the whole main event, we were waiting for the end.
Right.
So it was just... Yeah, and we knew Ruby Riott was coming.
I take it back. The Jericho MJF match, we were emotionally invested.
It was solid.
That's because we were emotionally, because it's Jericho, and we were like, we don't want to see him retire here.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's not the best one ever. Another question about the shirt, so never mind that. Let's see here. Is the O-line bad again, or does Rodgers hold the ball too long? It's just what you were just saying. It's sort of connected here.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers can be making better decisions, but he's not getting the most protection either. Let's see here. Alan Kimbrough, hear ye, no one shall answer this question except Rumblings podcast members. That worked. Good job.
You did it, Alan.
What state teams in recent memories have rough starts in week one to turn it around to be better week two? So, the last time state lost opening weekend was 16. And they did. They bounced back and beat South Carolina in week two.
Yep.
In 13, they lost to Oklahoma State. And came back and they played Alcorn the next week and just crushed them in Dak Prescott's first start. And then when's the last time they lost? I mean, 09.
15, did they play LSU first?
No, they played them second. They beat somebody easily first week.
Okay, I couldn't remember who they played first.
It was LSU was the week two game.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean,
there hasn't been many season opening losses.
Yeah. 08 in Ruston, they lost to Louisiana Tech, and the next week they won. They played like Jacksonville State or something.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
I still say in that in 2008 game, like, if you have Derek Pegues, you won in that ball game.
No, I think you're right.
Jamar Chaney went down with a torn ACL in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the better team even with how bad they were, but just didn't work out.
Yeah.
It was probably a good thing they lost.
Yeah, probably so. We're going to skip that one. Let's see here. Another all-out question. That was very good. Ryan Sims, what were that loss to La Tech have ranked between Maine and South Alabama for you? It's in the Pantheon.
It's not with Maine.
I think Maine is the worst loss of all time.
That's an FCS team.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's in that same Pantheon that was South Alabama.
It's not up there with Troy and Maine are in their own section. Yeah. And then you have...
They lost to UAB. State has lost to UAB. Yeah. State has lost to somebody else in there. You know, just those kind of games. And there's some SEC games, honestly. Like 3-2 is in that Pantheon.
Yeah.
So
I really think I'm not just trying to like act like that game wouldn't have been a bad loss. Mm-hmm. I really do think La Tech is significantly better than we assumed. With the transfers that they got in,
we'll have to see.
I just don't think we're giving them enough credit. I think it's a good team.
Yeah. One more, and then we'll go to the break here. Dalton Lee, what's the dumbest dare you've ever taken or given to someone, and they performed it? I don't really have a dumb one that I've done. I got a good one though that I know somebody we made somebody do. You don't have to give any names if you want to protect the innocent.
When I was in college, I don't know if I should say it. it's almost like incriminating. I better not do it. I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay. I know a guy who we dared him to eat the contents of a cigarette ashtray, and he did it.
Oh my God!
For $20.
$20?
Yeah. God rest his soul. Didn't die as a result of that, but
he died. He died.
He is no longer with us. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So.
Well, rest in peace.
Yeah. Let's move on into the second half of the Rumblings. That's brought to you by our good friends at Welcome Home Beef. Don't forget, if you're looking for Welcome Home Beef products in Starkville, they are at Val's Marketplace, a full meat counter of steaks, roasts, and burgers, and a lot of other cuts as well. Anything you need for your tailgate this weekend, head by Val's, and they will get you taken care of. And a lot of other great local markets in our state now have Welcome Home Beef products. If your local grocery store doesn't carry Welcome Home Beef, time to find out why. Call them, call your local grocers, and call Welcome Home Beef. 662-268-8148. Welcome Home Beef.
It just tastes good.
Two Brothers Smoked Meats. A little late now. Well, it depends on when you're listening. You can still get your order in. Email them at twobrothersstarkville@gmail.com and get your tailgating order in for this weekend. They will cater your tailgate, and you can enjoy some smoked Southern soul food right there in the junction. All the great food that's on the Two Brothers menu, probably some other specials as well. you can give them a call or give them and shoot them an email and find out what you need. Give them a call today. Enjoy yourself at Two Brothers this weekend. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Advantage Business Systems has a two-way plan to take care of your business, and it's been working for their customers for 46 years. Not a long time to be alive, Robbie. I just want to point that out. You're still young at 46.
You think so? I feel old.
I feel good, and at 45, I'm going on 46.
Okay. So.
But long time to be in business, and that's what Advantage Business Systems is all about. They're going to give you a tremendous selection of products and services, everything your business needs from a technological standpoint to operate with more profits and less problems, and then they back every single sale up with the kind of customer service you expect when you're dealing with your next-door neighbor. And that's what they are at Advantage Business Systems. They are Mississippians first and foremost. So call them today. Find out how they can help you. Number is 601-362-9192. Or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Bill wants to know, do you think the Egg Bowl this year is a must-win for Leach? Lane Kiffin had a better year last year, and I'll bet the farm they have a better season this year also. Leach has to win this one, in my opinion, because it could get ugly on the recruiting trail. I feel like the Egg Bowl is a must-win every year for both coaches. Mm-hmm. You need to win those games.
Yeah, State's got it feels like State's kind of drifting apart here.
Yeah.
Two ships crossing in the night, as someone once
wrote. And here's
the
thing. No coach has survived three straight losses in the Egg Bowl. Never happened in the history of the rivalry. If you lose this year, you're talking about next year you're going up to Oxford. Now, I know Corral will be gone, but I mean, it's tough.
They still should be
in
decent shape.
Yeah, they should have some good players. So, yeah, he needs to get a win. I don't know how he's going to do it, right, as we sit here in week one. But I'll tell you this. The last time I thought that was 2016.
Yes.
So, Thomas Fowler wants to know, how much of an overreaction will you both have to this game? I mean, I don't know that it's an overreaction yet. I got to see what happens week two, right? If State comes out,
Was he talking about the State game or the Ole Miss game?
Let me see here.
Because it was during the Ole Miss game.
Well, that's a good question. If it's to the Ole Miss game, again, I don't know how much I've overreacted until I see them play again.
So I didn't have an overreaction to that game,
mm-hmm.
but I do think that Ole Miss is significantly better on defense.
Yes, you can tell.
I mean, they at least played with effort last night, which didn't seem like it was the case last year. But Louisville was so bad. They were so bad. You could definitely tell that Louisville just did not have a clue out there.
Right.
I was shocked. They didn't look well coached. They weren't in position. They had some really dumb play calls. I just don't think Louisville's very good at all. That they're kind of starting to tail out here under Satterfield. So I think two things. Ole Miss is good. They're great on offense. They're mm-hmm. solid on defense.
Yeah.
And they're going to be pretty good this year. And Louisville stinks. Which I said that, and I got a message from an Ole Miss fan today because I said that Ole Miss stink. I mean, Louisville stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want you to just praise Ole Miss and say that everything was right. Ole Miss, but that wasn't the case.
Both things can be true.
You can say both things. I don't know.
And here's the thing. Like, last year, bad teams ran the ball all over Ole Miss.
Yes.
Mississippi State threw for 440 yards against Ole Miss. Bad mm-hmm. offensive team, so.
So if they were any good, I think that they would have been able to do some damage in that game.
All right, Jason Luckett has some English language issues for us. The saying undisputed heavyweight champion. Well, if it's undisputed, what's all the fighting about? Well, you're just trying to be the champion. This is one I can't go there with you on. You're the undisputed champion, but there are contenders to your title.
Yeah. In the past, that was used mostly when you were unifying belts, wasn't
it?
Yeah. So a lot of times it's not
right.
That's not really a term.
Right. It's more of a boxing thing now.
Yeah. You skipped some questions, I believe.
Oh, good. The last one before Jason is Thomas Fowler.
I'm down here on the Mangum Cafe.
I skipped that on purpose.
Okay.
No offense.
Then I had a question from Junior King.
That's somebody who's muted.
Okay, so you've muted a lot of people here.
Yeah, let's just move forward.
Well, let me just see. Let me see if you skipped. Because, I mean, it's way up there.
Yeah.
Okay, just go ahead.
All right, we're just going to move on.
Go ahead.
Another one from Jason Luckett here. Why do they call them apartments if they're all stuck together?
That's a really good question.
There you go.
I don't know where that originated.
I don't either. This is the best one though. Why do we have noses that run and feet that smell?
I've always heard that. That's a long time.
It's a good question though. Once again, the English language.
And no one has ever answered that question.
So. No, I agree. Another overreaction question. We'll move on from that one. Question one from Brad Baxter. Do you think this year's group of receivers can be as good or better than the 2014 receivers?
I think so.
They're
for better.
Sure. Yeah.
So that group had D'Ronnie Wilson, mm-hmm. Fred Brown, mm-hmm. Fred Ross, mm-hmm. Robert Johnson. Yeah, mm-hmm. this group's going to be better, I
Jamion
think.
Jamion Lewis. Gabe Miles.
That was a solid group, yeah. But I think, you know.
You had Smokey Graham for a few weeks there.
Jaden Wally is better than Jamion Lewis.
Yeah. You count Malcolm Johnson in the group? Yeah, I feel like you need to.
Yeah, he counted. Yeah. He's tight end.
But this group, I still think the potential is there for them to be better.
They have more guys.
Yeah.
I mean, and let's be honest, this is a completely different offense. Yeah. It's built
These receivers fit what they want to do, though.
They've got
speed. They're elusive. They can make big things happen after the catch.
Yeah, I really like this group. And they got a good mixture. They got guys, small, shifty guys that are fast. They have big, tall wide receivers that can be, you know, possession guys and red zone guys. So mm-hmm. I like the group they have.
Another one from Brad. After all the love Brian received for wearing the Giants shirt, when should we expect Robbie to wear a Steelers polo?
I did the other day.
You need to wear it to the next in the press box, though.
Where did I wear it?
People think you're a scout, though.
Do they?
Yeah.
I wore it to, I think, the East Mississippi game, maybe.
Morehead. I remember you wearing a Steelers polo and Morehead giving you some props for it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
I thought about ordering a Lakers polo and just, like, getting rush delivery to see if I could have it for this weekend's game, but oh well.
Why?
Just to have a different. Like, he's wearing a Lakers polo now. Can I get a Chelsea polo?
Somebody got mad at you another time when you wore the Giants.
It's possible.
I don't understand. Why are we so angry?
Why do we care what people wear?
I don't know why we're so angry.
Like, I don't get it. All right, John Burnett. We'll get one of his. He's got two long questions here, so let's just get one here. Tonight, I was making the 2-hour drive home from our farm. For most of the trip, I had another car basically follow me. When I'd speed up or slow down, so would they. The problem is they had their high beams on the whole time. I finally got off the interstate to let them keep going. What is the deal with these people, and why are they some of the worst humans on earth? High beam people are ridiculous.
I can't stand the people that don't use their cruise control on the highway.
Oh, yeah, the worst.
The people that, like, you're going too slow, so I have to get around you, and then when I get by you, you speed up.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. I'm not trying to race you. I'm just trying to put my cruise control on 75 mm-hmm. and just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go back and forth with you. Pick a speed and stick with it.
So this actually happened, and I'm probably not. You shouldn't be too proud of it, but coming home from Tupelo, I'm on 45 South.
Yeah,
and I'm passing a guy on the left. I'm doing right. I'm going probably 72. I start to pass the guy. He starts speeding up.
I hate it.
So I decided, okay, we're gonna go here. I got all the way up to 100. He was still going with me. And finally, I just said the hell with this and hit the brakes and got in behind him.
What a psycho.
I was just like, what is happening here?
It's
like Top Gun. I'll hit the brakes, he'll fly right by.
It's short man syndrome.
I guess, man. I'm like, I'm not.
I do that all the time. I hit the brakes and they just fly past you. I'm like an idiot.
I'm not even driving like I drive a Toyota Corolla. It's not like I'm trying to pass you in some, you know,
jacked up truck.
I don't know what's going on there. Let's see here. Another overreaction. You guys with the overreaction questions, man. Let's see here. Shelby Beach. Let's see here. Is there a chance we could see an M/S/85 logo on the football uniform at some point to commemorate the national title? That should happen. I don't think so.
I don't know. I just stick with baseball with baseball. I want to see more flying M.
Yeah?
I want to see that jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great jersey. This gray jersey that Adidas has put out mm-hmm. is
not good.
I mean,
I don't understand.
I can't imagine thinking this is a good idea.
Yeah, it's just another.
It looks like something that is hanging on the racks at Walmart.
Yeah,
the starter jerseys.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
Yeah. What's the weirdest request you ever had working at Papa John's? It's not really a request. They suggested an alternative method of payment. Let's put it that way. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You see what I'm getting at?
Yes.
All right. I didn't accept.
Will you take this instead?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was more like, I'll give you this instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
That's not how it worked. So I think not really the weirdest request, but, you know, you had to keep answering the phones even after you were closed, right?
Yes.
And so I was always very passive aggressive with people who were rude about it. Like, why'd you answer the phone? In case somebody important called. So this one guy, he's like, what do you mean you're closed? Like, it's 5:30 a.m. We're closed. What is this, Russia?
Oh, I was like, God.
You've got to be kidding me. So he's like, well, I want the first pizza that goes out in the morning then. I was like, okay. Like, we're going to have to get a credit card number on that, sir. So I get his credit card number. I run the order, and I leave a note. It's like, you make sure this pizza gets delivered. I don't care how long you got to bang on the door. They said the guy, like, the driver showed up and banged the door for, like, 15 minutes, just like the police. And finally, the guy came down in his underwear. It was like, you know, it's Sunday morning. He'd ordered it at 5:30 Saturday, or Sunday morning. It's 10 a.m. Sunday morning, 4.5 hours later. And they said they just looked at the driver and just went, beep, and just took the pizza and went inside. It's like, I was like, we're going to wake that guy up. I'm going to make it happen.
You wanted the pizza, sir.
I used to love doing that. Like, why did you answer the phone? Okay, somebody important called.
and you're not him.
You were not him. Let's see here. Do you ever work directly? You ever have a retail job?
No. I mean, I worked at Walmart.
For how long?
Summer.
Okay. You had a story?
I was a cart pusher.
You didn't really interact.
The only people I interacted with were people that I knew.
Yeah.
So
I got you.
I mean, this question says, have I ever worked directly with customers? I mean, technically I do, I guess, at my job, but not in a retail.
Not the same way, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the same. With the new segment, Tell 'Em Fault, can we see a full-on wrestling promo cut by Brian and Robbie every week? No, that's just too much work.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm not as good at that, like spitting my words out. I tend to stutter or forget what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But you're much better at the promo thing than I am. It would sound stupid probably
we don't need to. That needs to be something that's spontaneous.
Yeah.
All right, we can't plan those.
Like when Mississippi State won the national championship.
Think about the difference between AEW and WWE. We don't have script writers here, all right? We just want everything to flow extemporaneously.
That's right. So.
Tucker Medlin asks, if you were coaching the offensive line, what would you tell them? What adjustments would you make? I don't know. I mean, the first thing that occurs, right, is
the splits.
Tighten up your splits. But it feels like to work in this system, you need those wide splits. So I don't know how that would affect it. I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, I feel bad not really having an answer, but I don't.
I'm not even going to pretend to be someone that understands the offensive line. I'm not good at breaking down, you know, the splits or, you know, what's the issue here. Mm-hmm. I wasn't an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. So I usually don't even really criticize an offensive line that much just because I don't know what went on in that play to make something like that happen. The other day, I think one of the biggest issues that they had was recognizing stunts and things like that, the disguising blitzes.
I thought Lottec was doing a good job of stunting and twists and things of that nature. Yeah.
I think they struggled with that. I think that was the big thing.
Next question, Andrew Noble asked, did Joe Moorhead do more damage to this program than we realized? I'm going to talk about this because I know this is sort of going around on some other radio shows. I'm not giving Joe Moorhead an ounce of blame for what's happening here. None. All right. As it was sort of pointed out on your message board, I mean, most of the players on this team played for Joe Moorhead for less than a year.
Here's what I say about this.
Yeah.
Who are the players making the most plays right now?
The Joe Moorhead recruits.
Yeah, exactly.
Moorhead recruited most of the talent on this team.
You don't have Woody Marks.
Yeah.
You don't have Jaden Wally.
Will Rogers, Jaden Wally, Malik Heath.
Those are
all guys at Joe Moorhead.
Joe Moorhead guys. So, like,
yeah.
He was a solid recruiter.
Yeah.
He worked hard there. I mean, they've had to kind of start over in a base with the scheme and also, you know, kind of getting guys tougher because they were used to a different kind of style with Joe Moorhead. But that's become a popular topic right now.
That feels like a narrative.
Yeah.
That feels like somebody's telling somebody.
Somebody's trying to get it out.
Yeah. I'm not going to buy into that for 1 second. I'll say this, that, you know, after everybody left last year, if you have that many defections, the guys who are here should be bought in.
Yeah.
If they're not, then that's on Mike Leach at this point. Patrick Swindle says, in one word, describe AEW All Out. Great.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was good.
Fun.
True. Patrick Swindle, all-time best and dumbest lamest wrestler finishing moves. The best, in my opinion, the greatest finishing move of all time is Randy Savage's elbow drop off the top rope.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree. That was awesome.
The worst. I mean, you got to go back.
Hulk Hogan's leg drop.
Yeah, the old school, like, before people really put thought into things, like the old finishing, like the Russian sickle.
Like it's like chopping somebody on the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
like
the claw.
Greg the Hammer Valentine just dropped a regular old elbow on you.
Yeah.
It was like the story was.
Well, I mean, Dusty
the claw
did the
hold is a good
Dusty
one.
Did the elbow, you
yeah.
know? I mean,
flip, flop and fly.
I mean, there's been some bad ones.
Bionic elbow, yeah. So,
I mean, The Rock,
the People's Elbow is not a great finisher. The Rock Bottom is great.
The five knuckle shuffle.
Yeah.
I mean, like
yeah.
those are dumb yeah. finishing moves.
Yeah. JC wants to know, there is a possibility Will Rogers enters the top 10 of career completions on Saturday night. Don Smith is 10th at 307. Rogers has 278. It'll be his eighth career start. Is that something that is mind-boggling to y'all as it is to me? Well, now that you say it, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's what we talked about when Mike Leach was hired. You know, there was a graphic that came out when he was first hired, like 300-yard games
yeah, yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
He had more in one season than Mississippi State
yeah.
had
oh,
ever.
When he got hired, I sat down and put out all these stats, and I was just like, this is what you need to wrap your head around.
You know, they had three guys, I think it was their last year at Washington State, they had three guys, I believe, with over 500 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Mississippi State had not had one for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
One person.
I think from a receptions standpoint, like Osiris Mitchell led the team, Moorhead's last year.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been ninth. Leach's last year at Washington State.
Yeah, I mean
it's just
you look at those numbers and they're just kind of mind-boggling, like you said.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Will Rogers, as long as he's the starting quarterback, he's going to break every record that there is for quarterbacks at Mississippi State.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. I thought this got answered. Maybe not. All right, very good. From the Flying M, MSU history, rank these number 16s. Only four. Kevin Fant, Tyson Lee, Josh Lovelady, Joe Morrow.
Not many 16s.
It feels really easy to me.
I mean, I'm struggling with number one.
I'm going to go Fant.
He put on some bad teams.
Bad teams, but you know what? That one Egg Bowl win over Eli gets him some points. And then I'm going to go Lovelady.
Yep. Then Tyson Lee
then
and Joe
Tyson
Morrow.
Tyson Lee and Joe Morrow.
Joe Morrow had one good season, really.
Yeah.
And he had a great spring game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Fant. I mean that win over a really good Ole Miss team.
Yeah.
In 2001.
I mean, when he left the field, we were like, he might be better than Eli.
And yeah.
It didn't
work out. But to be fair, Kevin Fant
played on terrible.
Was on some bad teams.
He's lucky if he's still able to walk. He's a lucky man.
He's kind of like not to this extent, but you know, he's like Jairus Norwood in that if he would have played on some better teams.
Yeah.
He would have been more finely remembered.
I agree.
I believe he's coaching now. Maybe
I think he coaches
in Moss Point.
He may be the coach at Moss Point or Van Cleve or
that's
something.
Something
down in that area.
That's where he played, was Moss Point, right?
Yeah. Our good friend Taylor Rayburn, newly married, by the way.
Really? Well, congratulations, yeah. Taylor.
Well, don't congratulate him. He made a terrible decision.
No, that's fine.
What is your solution to the targeting rule? My solution is to do it like soccer. Yellow card, red card.
You get a warning
you
for
get
the
a,
first one?
You can get a warning. If you get a second target penalty, you're out. And also they can say there are some that are so egregious, that's just the one you got.
I think it needs to be – I think it doesn't need to be as black and white. I don't think it needs to be targeting, you're out.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be if there was malicious intent,
right.
if you can launch
at the receiver.
Yeah.
A guy's coming over the middle and you just launch into him, you're out.
But the
running back lowers his head, and you lowered yours, and you come together, that you can get it.
Just let
–
well, that
and it can be a penalty.
Yeah. That,
but you can stay in the game.
You can still have the penalty, but just say, the you know number 27 is not disqualified from the game with a 15-yard penalty. That makes sense. It doesn't need to just be target a penalty, you're out. You know, it's just there's some that are way more extreme than others.
Forrest Hughes wants to know, I know 4,000 passing yards was seen as a stretch by you both before the season, and 1,000 rushing yards a similar stretch. Considering that 5,000 total yards is 417 yards per game, a fairly average stat in today's college football landscape, and the yardage of week one, would you reassess these goals given the new information? I mean, against Louisiana Tech, he didn't have 417 yards.
No.
So, no, I would not. He will not. There are at least five games on the schedule where he will throw for much fewer yards.
He's going to throw – there's a game where he's going to throw for 220 or
Alabama,
something. Yeah.
Texas A&M.
He's going to have to average over 300 yard, over 315 yards a game
to get to 38.
He's going to have to average – if he doesn't play in a bowl game, he's going to have to average 325 to get to 39.
Yeah.
So –
don't see it.
Yeah, I mean that's just
don't see it.
It's there. That was a great game against La Tech, but it's not going to be like that every game.
Yeah. Missouri Dog, rank these MSU fans from Hitler to Bin Laden. Oof. Paint the end zones better, fan. Maroon is all that matters, fan. Blue tailgating tent, fan. Tells people to sit down at the game, fan. They're just kids, fan. I hate all of these people.
So. Maroon is all that matters. Fan is at the bottom. That doesn't bother me as much as other because that a lot of those people just don't know and they're just state fans that are wearing a state shirt.
I refuse to believe.
I don't think that they're. I don't think that they're doing this on purpose. I think these people are good people. The people that are just whiny about everything.
Mm-hmm.
They deserve.
Blue tailgating tent fan is a weird one because as a Mississippi State person, you would think you would try to avoid blue.
Yeah, like well, they're just getting whatever they got.
Well,
you can go buy a Mississippi State
tent at Walmart.
That's right.
I don't get it. Pain in the end zone fans. They got things done. I'll say that.
Here's the thing.
Here we go.
I actually agree with them.
Right.
I want the end zone painted.
Right.
My only thing is. I don't know I don't know how that process works. I don't know if it legitimately damages the grass or what. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I have a problem believing that when there are so many other painted end zones.
Yeah, but a lot of them are turf.
I'm not talking about the turf ones. I'm talking about the ones that are grass. If Tennessee can paint a checkerboard every week.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been their thing since
that's what
the beginning
I'm saying.
Of time.
Just solid color.
I'm not going to – and
I'm not saying
those guys
don't work hard.
Those guys should have handled that differently.
I thought it was poorly handled by the state people. Yeah.
But at the same time, they're not professional
social media
people.
Well, I get that.
And also, I don't like tearing those guys down because I know – the amount of work that they have to put in
year-round
on that.
The university needs a policy with social media that's basically like, what did your mom say? If you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything. If somebody's attacking you, you just got to let them go.
Yeah.
You mute them, do what you got to do.
And look,
don't
tough,
block
man.
Them, mute them so they, you know, they don't have anything to complain about.
Yeah. I understand both sides of it. I understand the people that want to have a better end zone. And I understand those guys for being somewhat upset by it because they probably put in a lot of work and didn't expect people to get upset. But I don't know.
By that same token, they were not going to highlight those letters until there was a fuss raised. I refuse to believe otherwise.
Maybe, but I will say that that is the last thing that they do.
Okay.
So I think they do that on Friday. Yeah. I don't know.
We'll see. Alex Barham, how disappointed were you in the offensive line Saturday, 1-10? 10 being the most disappointed, like an 8.
6.
Oh, a little less, okay.
I mean, I thought they would be better, but my expectations were still pretty low for the offensive line. I was more disappointed in the defense, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So far, has Charles Cross been the worst 5-star recruit Mississippi State's ever gotten? At least Delwan Robinson was a competitive defensive tackle. You got to remember with Charles Cross, this is his
third year.
Well, I mean, it's his third year, but it's his what?
Second year.
12th start? His 11th start.
And again, he's having to drop back and pass protect 60 times.
How long did it take Derek Sherrod to be good? He wasn't good as a sophomore. And then you're right. Every time he goes to the line of scrimmage, the defensive end knows I'm pass rushing.
Yeah, I do think we have to consider that.
Yeah,
and I know they're only bringing, you know, four guys, but if you drop back to pass 60 times, it's going to be tough to win your battle every single time. So I still believe that he's going to be one of the top offensive tackles, mm-hmm. just based on potential alone.
Yeah. I like Tyler Heidrich's question, but somebody answered it, and he didn't get back at him.
Come on, Tyler.
Ryan Nelson.
Who answered it?
I don't know. Some random guy.
Bugman70.
Yeah, he screwed you. Ryan Nelson, what are the chances that the games Leach is playing with Wally backfire and he transfers?
I don't think so. He's still playing a lot. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't put as much into the starting and not mm-hmm. starting thing. If you're playing in key spots, mm-hmm. I think that's what matters. And he was in the game in key spots.
I agree. Let's see here. Due to Conrad Thompson's podcast, I've become a Jeff Jarrett fan. Have you had a similar change of mind and perception on any wrestlers from your youth? It's funny how much I respect the heels now.
Yeah.
Like somebody like Rick Rude. Like, hated Rick Rude
mm-hmm.
when I was a kid because he was the bad guy. Now you look at his work and you're like, that guy was incredible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Kurt Hennig. Guys like that to me.
Paul Heyman.
Heyman, yeah. Yeah.
When you hear the background of kind of, you know, how respected some of these guys were, yeah. and where yeah. what, you know, what they were involved in.
I didn't
in.
Like Owen Hart.
I didn't either. Passed away. I didn't either.
And now
you don't, you know, you don't realize that stuff until you yeah. start hearing other people talk about
and
them.
You don't realize the quality of the wrestling sometimes until you go back and watch the matches as an adult.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, I just don't like him. I don't want him. You know, you're actively rooting against him. Go back and watch an Owen Hart match. You're like, that guy's incredible. So.
The Miz is kind of there
Miz
for me.
Miz is a good
He
example,
had go-away but, heat yeah. for me, yeah. and now I really respect him.
Yeah, I agree. Zachary Cooey wants to know, does Adam Cole have the best music in AEW now? That is a fantastic theme song he's got.
My favorite still is Darby Allin's. And then, of course, now you have CM Punk, which is at the top of my list. But, yeah, he does have a good one.
Yeah. Let's see here. Time for the question of the day. That comes to us from Ty Hamill. Now, his question is actually really good. But he gave the ultimate in a rebuke. Somebody answered his question. And, buddy, he did not hesitate to drop 2 F-bombs on him.
Mom, don't go look, Mom.
This is the kind of energy I want from people when they are doing the rebuking. So, Ty, great work. Here's your question. In a parallel universe where there is only one football team allowed per state, so State, Ole Miss, Southern, all combined, how many championships will the state of Mississippi have by now? The answer to this, to me, is 0.
You still think they wouldn't have?
Because there's only one university per state. The University of Texas, the University of Florida, the University of California are winning all the championships.
Yeah, probably so.
I mean, if you only had one university in Texas, one.
Well, they're still going to be limited, and they're going to have the same number of signees and rosters that Mississippi will have. So,
yeah, but it's going to be the top guys from every school. As opposed to,
yeah, but I mean, other people are going to come into Texas and get players too. Still,
I mean, I get that.
It's not if they're going to get the top 25 players in Texas.
But if they get 18 of them,
yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
I feel like the states that have produced the most, if Florida, Miami, and Florida State combined, I mean, what if Alabama and Auburn combined?
A better question is,
if this is just Mississippi, then we're talking states got some national titles. Yes,
yeah, because I mean. How many times has State and Ole Miss just sabotaged each other?
Think about 18. If I could have the 18 defense with A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Jordan Tamu,
and
Kylan Hill and State and Elton Jenkins on the offensive line, you know, and Greg Little.
I've always said that if Mississippi had just one team, the state of Mississippi would be like Louisiana, and mm-hmm. that loyalty would be to that team.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If LSU wants a kid – With the exception of some places in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
if LSU wants a kid, and maybe in the north of Louisiana,
it's a little different up north. Yeah,
and in New Orleans, because it's kind of a melting pot.
Yeah.
There's not the same loyalty, but if LSU wants a kid in Louisiana, more often than not, they're going to get him. That, if that happened in the state of Mississippi, and you didn't have Raekwon Davis leaving, and Jaheim Otis, N'Kobe Dean, all those guys, if they were staying, Cam Akers, if they were staying in Mississippi and going to this
school,
they would, it'd be a different story.
Be a different story, let's see here. Gil Manclang has his pick two, leave one. Arsenal, Tottenham, Man United. Now you got to pick.
I'm getting rid of Arsenal.
Okay, that's probably a good choice. They're the worst team in the league right now.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about them before.
So. I just hate Tottenham, so they're out.
Okay.
Dave Matthews Band, Fish, The Grateful Dead.
Fish is out.
Fish is out. Anchorman, Step Brothers, Old School.
Oh, that's tough.
It is tough.
Gosh. I don't want to get rid of any of them. I'm probably going to go with Old School here.
Ooh.
I know. But I really enjoyed Step Brothers. Anchorman ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, Step Brothers is the one that's out for me.
Old School probably. Yeah, I changed my mind. It's Old School because it has more one-liners.
Yeah, Old School is so funny.
Yeah, I'm changing my mind. Yeah.
Glazed chocolate iced jelly filled donuts.
Glaze is out.
Just regular glaze is out.
Yeah.
Baked beans, refried beans, black eyed peas. I'm not picking any of these. I don't like any of those.
Refried's out.
Okay. Jonathan wants to know how many problems Saturday can be explained by the team overlooking Louisiana Tech. I don't see how you overlook your season opener.
I do. You can still, we were talking about this game being a blowout. You know, we were picking, you know, I picked 38-6, I think. I mean, everybody thought the state was going to destroy Louisiana Tech. They overlooked South Alabama in 16. So I do think that they did. That might have played a factor. I thought that they got up 14-0 and they were just going to kind of sit there and just coast at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not the case.
Yeah.
So,
The Walking Bully, were you more surprised by the four turnovers or the lack of generating any pass rush?
Pass
rush was surprising that they didn't get as much pressure as you thought they would have.
Yep.
For sure. Who starts at right guard Saturday? Does Dollar Bill stay there? Or?
I think there's a possibility that we see Cam Jones move to right guard and Cole Smith slide into left.
Okay.
I don't have any intel on that. I just think, you know, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. Brad Haynes, what is something from your youth that you miss about football? For example, mine is Leonard's Losers. I love that.
I used to love listening to that. I listened to that on way back from high school football games.
Yeah.
You know, I just loved the, which I guess to a certain extent it's still this way, but when I was growing up, it was go on the road with my dad, and we would go on Friday nights. You know, he would do the play-by-play for Winston Academy for Channel 5 in Louisville. So I would go there with him, watch Winston, and, you know, back in the day when Winston was winning state championships, went four straight. And then the next, you know, coming in late, going to sleep and waking up in this time for Saturday, SEC football, that I don't get that as much anymore.
Yeah.
It's all work.
Yeah.
Friday night, I'm covering the game, I'm writing on deadline, go home, go to sleep, and then wake up and have to go to work. It was just more of an innocence to it, more excitement around it.
The easy answer for me is playing football. You know, when's the last time I played football? And I'm not even talking about, like, organized high school football. I'm just, like, going out with my friends to the park and throwing the football around and playing tackle football out there in the park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm way too old for that now. I'd probably break my legs or my neck or something. But you sort of hit on it, like, Saturdays used to just be like me and my dad watching football from 11:38 in the morning when the SEC game would come on until the end of the day. You know, we finish up around 10 o'clock.
You watch the Jefferson Pilot Sports in the morning.
Well, I mean, I'm
CBS.
Old enough that it was the TBS game.
Yeah,
it was on TBS with was it Bob Neal?
That was before my time.
Yeah, but I mean that's where I saw Don Smith beat Tennessee. You know,
right?
And then you'd watch. It wasn't CBS. ABC used to have the big game.
Mm-hmm.
And with Keith Jackson.
Keith Jackson, yeah.
And then you'd have something on ESPN. I mean, there might only been, and that was the thing, there were only like maybe four games on TV the whole day. But we watched them all. And then you would, you know.
You would probably listen to Mississippi State.
And you, that's the other thing. That's another thing. That's a good point. I miss just sitting
around
by
the radio
and listening to Jack Crystal tell me what's happening.
Dude, I did that.
I mean, I can't tell you how many.
Those teams in the early 2000s that were so bad, I mean, I sat through and listened to every second of that game.
I was in the 80s, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
We're talking about, like, Jack Crystal still at the peak of his powers.
Right.
The best announcer in college football.
Right.
So. Another one from Brad. What color shirt will I wear this weekend? Maybe blue? We'll see.
We're powder blue.
I didn't want to wear blue. I don't want to wear that sissy blue.
I might wear powder blue.
I didn't want to wear blue last week because of Louisiana Tech. You know, trying to avoid that. Cause and effect. Did the creation of Stardust cause what we're seeing in AEW? Yeah, Cody Rhodes has talked about
it. Did. It absolutely did.
It absolutely drove him to, like, I can't do this anymore.
Somebody else made a good point yesterday. There was that guy that tweeted at Dave Meltzer that said, you know, do you ever think that Ring of Honor could, like, sell out a big arena?
Yeah.
And he was like, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after, they had the, I guess United. It was All Out that Cody and them put together.
Yeah.
Basically because they were challenged by that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that happened. And I know that that was, that thing with Cody, like, really, like, lit a fire under him. He went to New Japan, became the American Nightmare or whatever he was. It was big.
Yeah.
It was big for what's happened.
Big part of it, yeah. Let's see here. John Roberts, other than bad optics, what's the point in playing Alabama this year or most years? He's talking obviously about playing them, not Mississippi State, but, like, why would a team like Miami want to play Alabama?
Yeah, there's
there is no point. You just get thrashed. Everybody says how overrated you are.
Well, you say that. They were very confident. I mean, they actually thought that they were going to win that game.
Well, look what
a lot of fans and, I mean, We've experienced it enough that you just want to get through that four quarters and move on to the next game.
Say,
you
know? Nothing.
Yeah. So. But they actually thought so. I mean, I guess they thought that something really good was going to come from that.
Yeah.
Now everybody wants them outside the top 25. So.
Yeah. The Thrash Panda says, is it odd that Joel Coleman is no longer posting player arrest articles? You'll never see Joel Coleman do that again, I promise.
And I'm sure he's excited about that.
He also says, considering that previous players have faced no game suspensions for arrests under Leach, do you expect Dollar Bill to face much heat? I think Dollar Bill may not start this weekend, but I don't think it's because of this. I think it might just be his performance.
It's hard to figure, and I think that, you know, the other guys that have been arrested that haven't sat, I think that, you know, he might have gathered some information. When he says we're gathering all the facts and stuff, when they put out that generic statement, they really are. They really are gathering the information because they're not just going to suspend a guy just because he got arrested. They're going to see what were the circumstances here. I think that Leach is a you know, they say he's a zero tolerance guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But you know, he's not just like, if you get arrested, you're out.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if we'll see a suspension or what. I guess we'll find out pretty quick on Saturday.
Yeah. Let's see here. RJ Sweatman. The refs tell us on turnovers they're going to let the play go as a turnover to err on the side of caution, yet the replay booth looked at the play as a call turnover and can't overturn the call without definitive evidence. Doesn't that seem ridiculous?
Everything that referees do at this point seems ridiculous.
I just
nothing makes sense.
At this point, just give me the robots. Just give me those. No one ever tries to answer my rumblings questions. Do I need better followers or am I that intimidating? Well, first off, RJ, this week you locked it up. You said nobody could reply to it. But in your weeks past, you're right. I guess people fear you. And it says you're the bad dog on your Twitter account. So.
And I think that, you know, he's got this posted in like a notes app.
Yeah.
That seems to be more deterrent than posting just
people
an actual.
Click on the thing. Yeah. That makes sense.
People are just scrolling through and answering questions.
There's Ty Hamill's answer to that.
Oh,
dude.
My God. He's
just
lit that
brutalized
guy.
Brutalized him. Love it.
Lit him on fire.
All right. Traquan Key says, there we go. We already answered that question. This is a good question. Mike Leach was known as a coach with a simplified system that took below average personnel and made them look great. Why do you think this is not translated to MSU with better players? I think this is one of the biggest frustrations for MSU fans is that Leach's system was supposed to be very simple, and you're supposed to be able to run it with less talent, and we're not seeing that. And then on top of that, Ole Miss has gotten better quickly.
Yeah. Well,
think about 3 years ago, when Moorhead's hired, and you're thinking, okay, one program is ascending, and one program is going down with Matt Luke, and here we are, and the opposite has happened.
I think it's all about the hire that you make.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of what Leach does. He kind of breaks everything down and builds it up.
Mm-hmm.
Kiffin is very similar to Dan Mullen. He's works around the personnel that he has, mm-hmm. plays to its strengths. That's what Dan Mullen did. Dan Mullen had Anthony Dixon when he got here and Tyson Lee. He had an offense that was built around, you know, kind of the spread option, and then he followed that up with Chris Relf. And then you get a guy like Dak who starts out, you know, kind of in a spread option attack, but he realized he had some tools there he could work with. So that's coaches that work around their personnel a little better. This coach and Joe Moorhead too, they're scheme coaches. They work around their scheme, and you have to fit into their scheme. Mm-hmm. It's just all about the hire that you make, and that's kind of, I mean, that's what you sign up with when you get Mike Leach. Yeah. This is what everybody should have expected when he got here.
Next question is about who should State look at next. It's too early. I can't get into that just yet, Traquan. We'll have to wait. Leroy Jenkins says, I need a young priest and an old priest. I have a cowbell which I have suspected is infected with bad juju for about 2 years. Last weekend during halftime, I threw the bell out the back door where it currently remains lying in the grass. We all know what happened after that game. What happened after that? My question is, should the bell be destroyed, or is there some sort of cleansing ritual that can be performed in order to rid the bell of bad juju?
Just bury it right there.
I would do one of two things. I would do that, or take it to a Catholic church and ask a priest to bless it.
Get some holy water sprinkled.
Dunk it in the holy water. Yeah, now we're talking. That's the only way to go. I would just leave it there, to be honest.
I would just bury it.
Or yeah, just don't go get it. Carter Bentley wants to know, what do you use to sports bet? My car. I drive down to Philadelphia and place bets there.
How often?
Once a year.
Just once?
Yeah.
Before the season?
The first weekend of the season, because we always have a remote there.
Right.
So I will go and do it then.
They have an app.
They do, but I don't need to get involved in that. I don't need to do
that. The Yankees lost again.
Sorry to hear that. You know who you want to blame for that, by the way? Richard Cross.
Oh yeah, he's a Yankees fan, isn't he?
Yeah, and he was
bragging about him.
Yeah, he was giving me some grief when the Giants lost one game to the Mets, and that was when the Yankees were in the middle of that big winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't see it with the Giants. They're not going to be any good. They're falling apart. The Yankees are the team coming up.
No, nope.
And look at you now.
They stink.
Yeah,
the Yankees suck.
It's going to be Yankees Red Sox in the wild card.
Ooh.
Bucky Dent.
I can't take that.
Let's go.
I can't take that.
Let's see here. Jay in Baltimore. We experienced our own version of Seinfeld's Two-Face on Saturday. Not really sure who was going to show up in each quarter. Rank in order which squad you would expect to see the most to least on this coming Saturday. Explosive offense, three and out offense, shutdown defense, Swiss cheese defense. I don't expect to see Swiss cheese defense.
I think shutdown defense, because this is an offense that likes to run the football, and I think this defense specializes in stopping the run.
Yeah, I think shutdown defense is one. Three and out offense is two.
Yes.
Explosive offense is three. Swiss cheese defense is four.
Yep.
In terms of most to least.
Yep.
Peyton Dungan wants to know, Saturday's game was 4 hours long. Will we ever see steps taken to shorten these televised games? If so, what do you think those steps will be? Well, it's not that the game's televised. That's what happens when you throw 60 passes or 50 passes.
And it is the television, too. Think about how many times that red hat came out there.
Yeah, passing the football means the game's going to be long.
Yeah.
If you know, what was it 2 years ago in the Egg Bowl in 19, the first three quarters took like an hour and 45 minutes. Because both teams were just running the ball nonstop. It wasn't until you got to the fourth quarter, Ole Miss brought in Corral and they started throwing the ball, that it took a long time to finish the fourth quarter. So,
yeah.
Last one of the day from our friend Charles Potts, who says, just got back into watching wrestling. Does AEW have a legit shot to run WWE like WCW did back in the day? Yeah. In fact, I think they have a better shot because the guy in charge, they have one guy in charge. It's Tony Khan. He's running everything. He's not going to bring in a bunch of glad handlers and yes men, and he and Cody the wrestlers themselves have enough input but at the same time Tony Khan is the final word.
Well, here's the deal: you had at a certain point everybody was just fed up with wrestling because WWE had its hands on everything,
mm-hmm.
You know, and if, you know, Vince McMahon shut down the territories, bought WCW and it was over. And all you had was the indies. Well, then WWE started buying the indie wrestlers and putting them in NXT and kind of ruining them and just, you know, doing nothing with them. So it got to the point that people stopped watching wrestling. People mm-hmm. were done with it. It turned into PG mm-hmm. wrestling.
I am
and nobody
one of these
liked
people
it.
That you're describing.
Yeah. And so basically this group of guys, Cody, Young Bucks,
Omega.
Kenny Omega, mm-hmm. got together and said, let's make a place where we are happy
yeah.
and that and legitimate
wrestling
fans. Yeah. So they sell out this arena and the buzz just starts kind of building mm-hmm. around this company.
And then Tony Khan.
Chris Jericho, I give Chris Jericho a lot of credit.
A lot of credit. Gave it legitimacy.
Because he came in and you're like, okay, that's a big
I don't
name.
Know that I would have watched the first few weeks of AEW if Jericho wasn't there.
No, that's what got my attention.
Yeah.
But I really liked the other guys, mm-hmm. but when Jericho, because that's my guy.
You're like, that's a
when he showed up
star.
In Jacksonville
yeah.
at that event
yeah.
and said, I'm coming, I was in. I was locked
yeah.
in with AEW. I was there first,
right.
the first show. And now you have, all right, wait, CM Punk is back?
Yeah.
What?
Now Adam
Bryan
Cole.
Danielson's going there? Adam
Danielson.
Cole? Wait a second, I got to check this out.
Yeah.
So all these people that were fans in the 90s and the 80s, they're coming back to it
and
because it feels like it did back then.
And the other from the other side, WWE is going to start going more to the – they want to have the big guys.
Yes.
So they're getting a bunch of guys who aren't wrestlers, who haven't come up and learned how to wrestle. They're going to have to teach them how to wrestle. They're going to have to teach them how to cut promos, which means they're going to teach them the one way to do it, the WWE way, and it's just going to be so cookie cutter. I feel like WWE is about to go through what it went through.
96 and 97.
Well, even go further back than that, when they were just so bad. You know, when Mabel was the WWE champion,
Bastion Booger.
Yeah, where they had guys like that. And it's like it took something. It took a real somebody finally saying, "You've got to change to Vince."
And listen, yeah. Vince is still the king.
Yeah, and he books for himself.
And I really think at some point Vince is going to say enough, and he's going to put his foot down.
It's not anytime soon.
And, you know, people that think that this isn't a legitimate, you know, threat,
mm-hmm. you're wrong.
You're in for a harsh reality because
yeah.
people are jumping off WWE.
I mean, what
left
happens
and right.
in a few weeks if Bray Wyatt shows up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna watch both. I'm a wrestling fan,
I think Sami Zayn's contract is up soon.
Yeah, you know? I mean, at some point too, like they're gonna run out
woman.
Of.
They need a girl.
Yeah, they're gonna run out. Like they're gonna run out of spots. Like some of these people are gonna have to go to TNA.
Well, I mean, you say that, but if you book it correctly, they need to add another hour to Dynamite. You need a third hour.
No.
I'm just saying.
That will kill it for me. And then Rampage needs 2 hours.
So give Rampage a second hour rather than give out Dynamite.
I can't watch Raw. 3 hours is too much.
Well, but if it was good, you could. I mean, I watched Raw start to finish back in 98, 3 hours.
Was it? That was 2 hours. I'm pretty sure.
Well, even when they move to 3 hours, I mean...
It's just too much. That's too much.
If you have enough good wrestlers and good stories, I'll watch.
Yeah.
So
I think maybe another hour of Rampage, where you put like the middle card
I don't disagree. I love that our most detailed answer of the day was this question here. So
what's the last one, too? We're finished. We're in the finish line, so...
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys. Tomorrow's show... we'll talk about NC State a lot. We need to start looking ahead of that game. I got an interview lined up with Jonas Pope IV from the Raleigh News Observer. And I got an interview lined up with one of the commentators from this weekend's game. Mike Golic Jr. will join me on tomorrow's show. And I'm interested to get his thoughts as a former offensive lineman. What does he see on film from this offensive line? People wanted to know what can they do differently. That feels like somebody who would know an answer.
Those are the people that you need to ask about the offensive line. Cole Kublik
would be a great guy to ask. Maybe need to get him on the show next week as well. We'll see. All right, guys. Have a great Wednesday. We'll be back with you on Thursday for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.